In the first reading today, we hear in the book of Revelation a rather astounding statement. We hear about the holy city coming down out of heaven from God. So now we're talking about eternity. And it says, God's dwelling will be with men, and he will dwell with them. That's just the opposite of the way we tend to think of things. When we get to heaven, we're going to be with God. But notice how God, in his absolute humility and absolute charity, has turned it exactly the other way. He will be with them. What an astounding statement. It already is that way when we look at our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament. He is with us. The question, I suppose, then, that naturally should come up is, are we with him? Because he has chosen to be with us, we have to make a choice to be with him. But even that point for eternity, that God would look at us and he wants to be with us. Rather than looking at it and saying, what a privilege it will be on your part to be able to be in heaven and be with me, he's looking at it the other way. That's how much he loves you. And we recognize this in a very personal way. It's not just, again, that our Lord is here in the Blessed Sacrament, as indeed he is, just in some generic way for everyone. Obviously, he is there for everyone. But he is there for each one of us personally. When you just received communion a few minutes ago, as did everybody else that received today, it wasn't just a generic thing that, well, everybody received the Lord. No, you received the Lord individually. And that's a very important point because in the gospel reading, we hear about this man named Zacchaeus who clearly has never met Jesus. He just wants to see the Lord. So he runs and climbs up the tree, and Jesus comes to him and says, Zacchaeus, how does he know his name? He's never met him before. He's in a town that's not the Lord's town. Maybe Zacchaeus' reputation preceded him, and the Lord knew because Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a pretty rotten guy at that time. No. He's God, and he knew him by name. And he said to him, I mean to stay in your house today. Guess what he just did for you? He called you by name, and he said, I mean to stay in your house today. That's what he is doing for us. So we go back to the book of Proverbs, and we hear that beautiful statement talking about wisdom, who of course is Jesus, and it says that his delight was to be with the sons of men. His delight is to be with us. Once again, this is enough to make you scratch your head and wonder. Is our delight to be with him? Can we honestly say that? My delight is to be with the Lord? It should be. But notice again how God, how much he loves you. Even if you do not come to stay in his house today, he's come to stay in yours. Even if you are not in love with him, he's in love with you. Even if we don't know his name, which thankfully we do, but there are lots of pagans out there who have no clue who he is. Just like Zacchaeus, he knows their name. And he loves them. And he wants to stay in their house because he wants them to be in his house. but his delight is to be with them. What an amazing thing. Just turn that to an individual point and look inside your own self and say, his delight is to be with me. Does that make any sense at all? No. But love doesn't make sense. We can't figure it out. Those of you who are married, again, you can look at that and say, does my spouse love me? Why? Why does my spouse love me? There is no answer to that question. Because if you say, well, because of what my spouse is getting from me, look at all the things that I do for my spouse, that's why my spouse loves me. Oh. Then they don't love you, they love what they get from you. That's not why they love you. They love you because you're you. And you look at yourself from the inside, you look at yourself in the mirror, and once again you gotta scratch your head and say, and my spouse loves this? My spouse loves me? Why? There isn't an answer. His delight is to be with you because he's in love with you. Now, at least we can answer that one. He's in love with you because he made you that way. He made you to be loved, and he made you to love. So he wants your delight to be with him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be in love with him just as he is in love with you. So as we celebrate today the dedication of a church, two of them, one that houses the body of St. Peter and one that houses the body of St. Paul, the church gives us readings that have nothing to do with that at all, because there is a temple which is far, far greater. Yes, there is the temple in heaven that came down like a bride prepared to meet her husband. But there is a temple that is even greater. You. The temple that God made for himself. The temple where God delights to be. The temple where God has chosen to be with us. Spend the rest of the day pondering that. God wants to be with us. Not the other way around. Yes, he wants us to be with him, obviously. But that's not what love is. You don't look at your spouse and say, you're so lucky to be with me. No, you are blessed to be with your spouse. Your spouse should be looking at it the same way, but if you're looking at it that way and say, oh, my spouse is the luckiest person in the world because they got me, the arrogance would be through the roof. God is absolutely and perfectly humble. There is no arrogance, there is no pride. So he's not looking at it and saying, what a blessing for you to be with me. No, that's what we should be saying. What a blessing to be with him. In the meantime, because he is so in love with you, he is saying, I am blessed to be with you. Wow. Don't try and wrap your head around it because you can't. Therefore, wrap your heart around it because it's the only way. Because you are the temple of the Lord. You are the place where he has chosen to dwell. You are the one in whom he delights, and you are the one with whom he has chosen to remain.